Bahamas Police Force is a notable organization founded on the tenets of integrity, loyalty, and courage. Celebrating distinguished and exceptional policing service, the force continues to execute its core mandate as outlined in the Police Act, which includes maintaining law and order, preserving the peace, preventing and detecting crime, apprehending offenders, and enforcing all laws. The organization has profoundly transitioned from a time when notes were recorded with quill pens, and the primary means of transportation for inspectors were horses. Fast forward to the 20th and the 21st centuries that ushered in the digital age and computer automation that revolutionized the entire model of the organization with a touch of a button. On March 1, 1840, the Bahamas Police Force was formed by 16 men under the command of Inspector General John Pinder. This new police force was distinctly non-military in nature and provided a 24-hour patrol of the island of New Providence. It was not until several years later that members were transferred to some of the other islands. By the end of 1840, the strength of the force was one inspector general and 30 sergeants, corporals, and privates. The latter were the same as constables. This is the Royal Bahamas Police Force, then, now, tomorrow. Although the force was non-military, during the early years, its primary function was to protect the Bahamas from outsiders. By 1841, the strength of the force expanded to 31 men. By 1863, the manpower of the force increased to 100 police officers for deployment between Nassau and the Miami Islands. In 1954, the force experienced tremendous growth as Mr. Edward Sears was the first Bahamian appointed to act as commissioner. Simultaneously, the force recruited men from Trinidad and Barbados and other Caribbean islands.
I joined the force in 1955, and I was 21 years of age. Deputy commissioner at the time, well, most of the all the senior officers at the time in the force were Englishmen, and the deputy commissioner was a man called Spencer Harty. Mm. And he came to Barbados to recruit 20 men for the Bahamas Police Force. At the time, there was an acting commissioner of police. He was on vacation, and I think he was just about ready to leave. Eddie Sears was his name. He's a white Bahamian. Edward Sears, Sears Road, mm-hmm. off Shirley Street, mm-hmm. is named after his family. Mm-hmm. The man who was acting commissioner of police for the Bahamas Police Force at the time was a man called Eddie Sears. Mm-hmm. He was on vacation, and Spencer Harty was his deputy who recruited us. Mm-hmm. Well, you could imagine 1955, early in March, he came to Barbados to recruit. I was 21 years old, and there must have been 300-400 of us at the police station to see who would get on. And when the 20 was called, I found myself among the 20s.
Mr. Sears retired in 1955 and was succeeded by Mr. E.J.H. Weems. Commissioner Weems laid the foundation for modernizing the force with emphasis on police welfare.
There was an English officer in Barbados by the name of Colchester Weems. In those days, the senior officers carried army ranks. He was a colonel, and he was in charge of CID in Barbados, and then he was posted to the Bahamas as commissioner. You know, these were colonial days. He was sent to the Bahamas as commissioner for the Bahamas Police Force, and he brought with him many good ideas for improvement in the force, improvement in salary, improvement in accommodation, improvement of uniform, improvement of the system of working. And not only did he improve those particular areas, but he went on a spate of building accommodation, building messes, building canteen, building the police force from inside out.
In 1958, the Security and Intelligence Branch was established with a mandate that extended to special escorts for VIPs and collecting. collating and disseminating information that is vital to the security of the country. Police Radio Control Room was established in 1959 with a number of cars outfitted with police radios for two-way communication. Force Garage was established that same year, with their duties having increased from managing two vehicles to a fleet of vehicles, including saloon cars, trucks, buses, motorcycles, scooters, bicycles, and so on.
First, let me say, I had a passion for being a police officer. From I was about 7 or 8, my mother always used to tell me, you know, every time I would go home and I would see these police officers walking, I would say, Mommy, I call her Mommy, I want to be a policeman. And she would always ask me, why you want to be a policeman? I said, I just like the way they walk and I like that uniform. But she didn't pay it any mind. She just leave me with that thought in my head. And as I grew up, I was living in Woods Alley off Market Street. The Southern Police Station was in that area on Market Street and Kwaku Street. And I would go to the corner of Woods Alley and I would always see these officers walking the beat. And I mean, I look at how they walk together, those boots just going clip, clop, clip, clop. And that fascinated me. And I formed in my head that I wanted to be a policeman. And as I grew, I went to Prince William High School. And of course, I went to primary school and the other schools, Oaksville, Western Junior, Western Senior. Then I went to Prince William High School. And I graduated in summer of 1972. And there was no question as to where I wanted to go and what I wanted to be.
The force continued to keep pace with modern times during the decade with the introduction of women police officers and voluntary police reserves. In November 1964, the first squad of 6 females were recruited into the force. In August 1965, the first squad of 56 voluntary police reserves were recruited into the force. Notably, in February 1966, the prefix Royal was conferred to the Bahamas Police Force by His Royal Highness Prince Philip. During the 1960s, the presence of women in the Bahamas became more recognized. It began with an act giving women the right to vote and sit in the legislature. Women received their first voting opportunity during the election held in November 1962. In 1964, women were given the opportunity to join the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and 122 women applied to become police officers.
Okay, we've had prolific writers in the force and in the country who contributed to the evolution of women, the presence of women in the force. You could imagine when women first joined the force in 1960, it was a culture shock for the men because they were used to being with their male counterparts. You could say anything, you can do anything, and now you had this new person coming in, and you had to be very circumspect, you had to be respectful, and so it was for the first going. It was, as the history would demonstrate, it was a bit rough for women. In fact, they didn't get the promotions that they were qualified for. And then, you know, then there were some people who, even when women, through their own hard work and effort and preparation and development, when women got promoted, there were persons who looked at it with jaundiced eyes, and you know, as if a woman could not on her own too well. Today, thankfully, that has been dispelled for the most part. Some of the most brilliant minds in law enforcement in this country are females. And you only know that they're females because when you see them, they are females. But when you look at what they're doing, their contributions, and the fact that they are always trying to develop themselves, it's a remarkable evolution. I'm proud of the women in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Very, very, very proud of them.
The 6 females who began training on November 23rd, 1964, under the supervision of Sergeant 286 Audrey Ware, were Anita Bethel, Theresa Baker, Norma Clark, Alcida McFall, Hildred McLean, and Esther Stubbs.
I took the exam, and I was accepted in 1966, July 17th. I was accepted as one of the female recruit at the time. After graduating, I became a constable, because you recruit, then you, after graduation, become a constable. Some were reluctant to have women in the force, because during that time, they didn't have any females until 1964, 27th of November 1964. They had six females who joined the ranks of the police force. But some of the officers, male officers, didn't want the females around them.
Yeah.
Females really became a part of the force, because you would have female who were arrested and didn't have any females to, well, first of all, you have to search them.
Mm-hmm.
And you, they would call in a female civilian off the street.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one civilian who became a matron until the inception of the females into the force.
Mm.
So, but it was hard going through the early stages in the force. The male didn't want the females around, and they were reluctant to have females on patrol with them, because they say, well, if something occur, if an incident occur, could you back me up? But we had the same training, so we would know exactly what to do.
The first gazetted female officer was Assistant Superintendent Danby, also from England. She joined in 1968 and resigned in 1970. Prior to the admission of females as police officers, the organization relied on the services of female civilians. These women were referred to as matron. Her responsibility was to assist male officers whenever females or children were in police custody. From the 1930s and throughout the 1940s and 50s, Mrs. Clotilda Blackman served as matron. She was a qualified nurse and wife of former Sergeant 67 Blackman. All police women received the same training as their male counterparts. Since the first squad of females, women have moved into a variety of areas in the force. The first Bahamian female gazetted officer was Superintendent Allardyce M. Strawn, who attained this position on May 1988. She was responsible for women police and personnel. Miss Dorothy Davis was the first Bahamian woman to attain the rank of inspector on June 27, 1979. She also worked as a prosecutor. The first woman police fingerprint expert and photographer was Assistant Superintendent Turnquest. On October 1, 1987, Inspector Denise Tynes was the first female to enter at this rank in the force. She joined the staff of the Forensic Science Laboratory. Woman Police Corporal 976 Ruby Colley Saunders was the first woman motorcyclist. She drew a lot of attention when she first appeared on a motorcycle. Woman Police Corporal 1028 was the first woman motorcyclist. Woman Police Corporal 1028 Douglas was the first to enter the world-famous Royal Bahamas Police Force Band. Woman Police Corporal 1632 Killy Hasty was the first female attached to the Air Wing Section. January 9, 1985. Woman Police Corporal 1572, Pauline Ferguson, was the first female to become a dog handler in 1984.
1966, December, this is when we had a squad of 10. There were three females and seven males. And it was during the Christmas period. So we had a six-month training, but we were graduated before the 6 month was up. So we had 5 months and 2 weeks, and the 10 of us went to traffic, which was on now Fort Charlotte. That's where traffic was at that time. I've been in traffic many years, So that was really the most area that I would have served most until I became an inspector and was transferred to Southern Police Station. And since then, I, you know, move around, becoming officer in charge of many of the stations. You would find that there were several commissioners during the time that would serve. And traffic was one of the, until I went into Southern, and then I was sent away to London on a junior command course. Coming back, I was sent to now South Eastern Division, which was East Street South Police Station at the time. I opened that station in 1987, December. So that was another area. Then after that, I was sent, returned to traffic as the second in charge of traffic. So that was really, traffic was really the most area that I've worked. And then I went on to different areas, becoming OC of many areas. Another station that I commanded, mm-hmm. and I commanded, you had the East Street plus the Elizabeth, so I had, and Foxhill. So there were three stations that I command at one time.
On June 1st, 1973, Mr. Salathiel Thompson was appointed Commissioner of Police. Notably, on July 10th, 1973, he became the first Bahamian Commissioner of Police to serve under an independent Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He succeeded Mr. John Himmarsh of Britain and held the top position for 8 years until his retirement in 1981. He was noted for navigating the force during a critical time of independence.
In high school, the year 72, there was all this talk about the white paper of independence. And that also fascinated me. And it was really a big talk. And January the 29th, 1973, I enlisted in the Royal Bahamas Police Force as Recruit Constable number 83, John Ferguson. I must say the leadership of the country at that time, particularly Sir Lyndon and the Honorable late A.D. Hanna, along with the other forerunners, they were determined that the election, I think, of 72 would have been the turning point and the consent, more or less, of what the people had to say with regards to independence. And after that election, it was full steam ahead. And there was no turning back. They had the green paper on independence. They had the white paper on independence. And all of the, that was the main topic everywhere, in the churches, in the schools, on the streets. And it was almost like an education. You know, people were being educated as to what is independence.
Independence resulted in a coming of age of the Bahamian people. They became responsible for determining their own future. The majority of the population lived in Nassau, which was becoming urbanized. Tourism was clearly the major industry of the country. At the heart of this new status was the concept of Bahamianization. For the police, this meant that Bahamians would have to fill the ranks from commissioner of police to constable, amid the new symbols of nationhood, a constitution, national anthem, coat of arms, and flag.
That was a marvelous experience. We were in training. A Squad 73 formed in January of 1973. We were the independent squad. And we were like an experimental squad because they had us in training for 9 months in comparison to the 6 months. And the reason they had us in training for 9 months was because they wanted to give us a comprehensive training of not only the normal drills and march drills, but they wanted to wanted us to learn the funeral drills, the public order drills, all of the drills and all of the areas of the force in that scope of time, so that when we passed out, we would have been completely finished with all of the necessary drills that we should know. Well, we had that training, and we passed out as the first. We were the first squad, A Squad 73, the independent squad, the first squad to pass out in an independent Bahamas. We got independence July 10th of that year, and we passed out in September. And one of the unique things about that squad was that was the first squad that wore white tunic even before they passed out. That's how much we were needed on Clifford Park. You know, all hands were on deck, and every able-bodied police officer was at his best. And they used the recruits, we would recruit the squad in training to be a part of the public order on Clifford Park. And that was an honor for us because you don't wear white tunic until after you passed out. So that was a big thing for us. And when that squad passed out, I'll never forget it, the police college, which was just handed over to the Bahamas government by the British government, by Prince Charles, he came to the Bahamas to do that. And the last English commissioner, Mr. John Hine Marsh, he was present. And when that squad passed out, it was something else. Sir Lyndon was the keynote speaker. And it was awesome. You couldn't get inside that police college yard because everybody wanted to see this first squad that passed out in an independent Bahamas. Mm-hmm. You know, it was historical. And I can never forget it because I was young. I was only 18 at the time, or a little over 18. But it was a journey. And 50 years later, everybody who was in that squad now has retired. Some are deceased. But I'm happy to be alive to tell the story because it is a story that is worth telling. And all of the members of that squad were properly trained, were properly educated in terms of policing. And over the years, I think we have done an excellent job in maintaining the standards of that independent squad. Because every squad that passed out after that was after us. We were the squad.
There was new leadership chosen to lead the force throughout the remainder of the decade.
When that band came out of the area that they were in, and that band marched those squads on those various platoons in the front of the Diaz with Sir Lyndon and the entire government, the cabinet, and all of the guests. It was goosebumps came on you because we never experienced that. That was the first time in our history that we saw that particular display on as a nation, a newborn nation now putting itself on display. You know, it was awesome. And again, like I said, the Royal Bahamas Police Force at the time carried the load in terms of the military, the paramilitary part of that. And Mr. Salatiel Thompson was then the commissioner at the time. He was the first Bahamian commissioner who hailed from Bannerman Town, Eleuthera. Mr. Salatiel Thompson, he was the commissioner, the newly appointed commissioner of police. Mr. Hine Marsh had handed the force over to him. And I think the late Mr. Harold Cole was the staff officer. And several other former senior officers who most of them are either deceased or retired, they were in the front line of the force in that respect.
Mr. Salathiel Harvey Thompson, CMG, QPM, CPM, was the first Bahamian commissioner of police, appointed on June 1st, 1973. In 1981, Mr. Gerald Bartlett became the second Bahamian Commissioner of Police appointed under an independent Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He succeeded Bahamian Commissioner Salathiel Thompson and held the top position for 6 years until his retirement in 1987. Commissioner Bartlett enlisted into the force on October 10, 1946. On November 21, 1987, Mr. Bernard Bonamy became the third Bahamian Commissioner of Police appointed under an independent Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He succeeded Bahamian Commissioner Gerald Bartlett and held the top position for 14 years until his retirement on November 21, 2001. On November 21, 2001, Mr. Paul H. Farquharson became the fourth Bahamian Commissioner of Police appointed under an independent Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He succeeded Bahamian Commissioner Bernard Bonamy and held the top position for 8 years until his retirement on March 16, 2009. On March 16, 2009, Mr. Reginald Farquharson became the fifth Bahamian Commissioner of Police appointed under an independent Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He succeeded Bahamian Commissioner Paul Farquharson and held the top position for less than a year until his retirement on January 4, 2010. On January 4, 2010, Mr. Ellison Greenslade became the sixth Bahamian Commissioner of Police appointed under an independent Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He succeeded Bahamian Commissioner Reginald Farquharson and held the top position for 8 years until his retirement on October 30, 2017. On October 30, 2017, Mr. Anthony Farquharson became the seventh Bahamian Commissioner of Police appointed under an independent Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He succeeded Bahamian Commissioner Ellison Greenslade. On March 30, 2020, Mr. Paul Roll became the 8th Bahamian Commissioner of Police appointed under an independent Commonwealth of the Bahamas. He succeeded Bahamian Commissioner Anthony Farquharson. And on July 5, 2022, Mr. Clayton Fernander became the 9th Commissioner of Police appointed under an independent Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
The Royal Bahamas Police Force has come a long way in its history with successive commissioners. I worked under seven commissioners. Wow. Yeah, seven commissioners. And each commissioner is like a part of a relay team. He does his tenure, and then he passes the baton on, and it's expected that the commissioner who receives the baton from him will take the force to the next level.
Well, let me just say this. I want to commend Mr. Clayton Fernander, the sitting commissioner of police. Mr. Fernander earned his due in this police force in this country. He has always worked hard. He's always been diligent in the things of the country. And I know these things because I've worked with him when he was of significantly less rank. And the people who surround him today, I've worked with them. Some of them I trained in certain areas, okay? And so I would say to my colleagues, and I still refer to them as colleagues because I still have a close affinity with the force. And as the saying goes, Gatchigan, once a policeman, always a policeman, I would say support the commissioner. Understand what his policies are. Understand what is the philosophical policies of the government of the day. If you let partisan politics or national politics get within your psyche, you're not going to be an objective policeman. Mm-hmm. When you join the police force, there was always PLP, FNM, and then you have other groupings that come and go. That's nothing to concern yourself about in the grand scheme of things. We have laws, we have regulations and stipulations that say this is how you ought to behave, this is how you ought to govern the country mm-hmm. and police the country. And so my message to them during this time of independence is continue the great work. Keep the adhesive unit together. Do not let anyone infiltrate the unity that is supposed to be in the force, because the old strategy of divide and conquer will work if you allow other narratives to blur your perception of what policing ought to be.
Today, the force is an extremely large and intricate 21st century law enforcement agency. The police force provides policing service to all residents and visitors of the Bahamas, an archipelago of 700 islands and keys.
Back in the day, when you joined the police force, people considered, well, you know, it's a government job. You can be employed for the rest of your life and get a reasonable pension. The force has evolved over time now that you have brilliant minds, persons with first, second, and a terminal degree. Mm-hmm. In the disciplines. And so when you look at what law enforcement touches and reaches in this country, there's not a strata of the Bahamian experience where you don't need the presence of law enforcement. It may not be that frontline policing, but at least knowing that there are structures in place for the country to advance. So I would definitely encourage young people, particularly young men, because you watch the way the country is going. The force is more than a job. It's more than opportunities to travel and to be trained and to meet and interact with persons. But it really disciplines you. The discipline you get in this police force, you can use it in banking, in the professions right across. You could use it in your day-to-day life. I remember when I went to Canada to the Royal Canadian Mounted Police College, I saw in Canada that the national symbol of that nation was the Mountie, the Mounted Police Officer. Mm. And it blew me away, because in the Bahamas, it's some other symbol. In America, some other symbol. But this country. And so I probed into that and I asked why. And the answer I got, Catchigan, was that because what the discipline the Mountie brings to his job, it can be used right across the landscape in Canada. And it blew me away so much that I endeavored that when I got back to the Bahamas, one of the things I will try to inculcate in our young police officers was the spirit of a policeman that would permeate the entire nation. I speak to multiple places, graduations, training, you name it. Mm-hmm. And the thing I try to do with young people is to encourage them to have this spirit that if you're going to be a banker, you need a brilliant mind, but you also need this discipline and this focus that I think came from what I saw there, what I believe is here, and what can permeate every strata of the Bahamian experience.
The organization's operating environment is dynamic and continues to rapidly change to reflect global trends. Accordingly, the force continues to secure and foster productive partnerships nationally, regionally, and internationally to remain fundamentally successful. The organization's current crime-fighting strategies and policing initiatives seek to build safer communities through engaging public discourse, support, and participation.
And what comes to mind immediately is you have to be honest, because if you, there's a saying that goes, a nation or a people gets the leaders it deserves. Mm-hmm. I say that a nation gets the police it deserves. And so a policeman has to have this acumen of honesty, hard work, fair play. He must have the characteristic of a probing mind, that what you see may not always be what it is. He has to be eager to learn. He has to be charismatic. He has to be a go-getter, someone who can inspire others, who can motivate, but also who can motivate himself. And he must also have this innate desire not to want what your job cannot afford. His integrity must be beyond compromise. And I think that, and this is why I said all of these disciplines and these characteristics, I think, can be conflated into anything that you do in the country. You know, whatever you're going to do in the country, you need to be honest. You need to be, you know, and then you have to have this spirit, this patriotic spirit flowing through your veins that I can't sell the country down the river. Mm. We have to protect the country. And so the guy who's going to give me an opportunity now to take $1,000 and look the other way, or $10,000 or $1 million, that would nothing in comparison to being able to sleep tonight, but also to know that you are not going to sail your country down the river. Mm-hmm. When I joined the force, as I said, I had options. I had multiple options. As I matriculated through the system, mm-hmm. I had even greater opportunities and encouragements or invitations to leave the force for things that were more lucrative. Didn't have to worry about the security, quote unquote, you know, because when you go into this theater as a police officer, anything can happen. And certainly some of the creature comforts, for example, you're a police officer, you cannot just leave the jurisdiction. You have to get permission to leave. And so I had opportunities to forego all of what I did for 37 years. But then it just kept coming back to me. But if you do this, who is going to step in your place? No man is an island. No man stands alone. Appreciate that. But unless you take a vested interest in where you want to see your country, where you want to see your family and your grandchildren, etc., and this community as a whole, then, yes, you set aside some creature comforts and some other things, and you say, let's help the country. Money isn't everything. And this leverage and this influence that many Bahamians, in my opinion, too many Bahamians peddle and push, that isn't everything. You want to be able to go to bed tonight and say, you know, when I turn this light off in this room, I'm leaving a community that I've done a whole lot for. And when you hang up your gloves, as it were, you want to be able to say, at the end of the day, I gave it my best. And people will remember you. It's a thankful job. Let's understand that it's a thankful job. Maybe the gratitude will come at a later time, but you know that you're doing right by your conscience, right by God, and right by the people of your nation.
This was the program, The Royal Bahamas Police Force, Then, Now, Tomorrow. I'm Cashian Adderley. A special thanks to the Commissioner of Police, Mr. Clayton Fernander. A special thank you to our distinguished guest, retired Deputy Commissioner Keith Mason, retired Assistant Commissioner of Police, Mr. Hewlin Hanna, retired Assistant Commissioner of Police, John Ferguson, retired Assistant Commissioner of Police, Juanita Colebrook. A special thank you to Chief Superintendent Chrisling Skippings and ASP Ramsey. Information acquired via RoyalBahamasPoliceForce.org/history. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Cashian Adderley. Have a tremendous day, and thank you so much for listening.